morning and welcome to our service of Holy Eucharist Rite 2 on this beautiful Sunday morning. Our service is found in the Book of Common Prayer, beginning on page 355. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of good will. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, heavenly King, O God Almighty Father. Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Let your continual mercy, O Lord, cleanse and defend your church. And because it cannot continue in safety without your help, protect and govern it always by your goodness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the 11th chapter of the book of the prophet Hosea. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities. It consumes their oracle priests and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but he does not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord who roars like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria. And I will return them to their homes, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
The psalm for this morning is Psalm 107, found on your bulletin. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let all those whom the Lord has redeemed proclaim that he redeemed them from the hand of the foe. He gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes. They found no way to a city where they might dwell. They were hungry and thirsty. Their spirits languished within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He put their feet on a straight path to go to a city where they might dwell. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and the wonders he does for his children. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Whoever is wise will ponder these things and consider well the mercies of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from the book of Colossians, starting in chapter 3. If you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil, desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is in all and in all. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." It is the gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. How many of you are familiar with the story of Bunny Foo Foo? All right. You're going to get it. There was this little bunny called Bunny Foo Foo. And Bunny Foo Foo was naughty at times and would go hopping through the forest and scoop up the mice and bop them on the head. Well, the good fairy got tired of it. And one day, little Bunny Foo Foo hopping through the forest, scooping up the field mice and bopping him on the head. Down comes the good fairy and says, "Little Bunny Foo Foo, I don't want to see you hopping through the forest, scooping up the field mice and bopping them on the head. I'm going to give you..." Ruh-roh. I need that. "I'm going to give you 3 chances. And I don't want to see you bopping the field mice or I'm going to turn you into a goon." Little Bunny Foo Foo's a slow learner. Little Bunny Foo Foo hopping through the forest, scooping up the field mice and bopping them on the head. Down comes the good fairy. "Little Bunny Foo Foo, I gave you 3 chances. Now you only have 2, and if you don't wise up, I'm going to turn you into a goon." Once again. "Little Bunny Foo Foo hopping through the forest, scooping up the field mice and bopping them on the head." And again the good fairy says, "I don't want to see you scooping them up and bopping them on the head. You have 1 more chance or I'm going to turn you into a goon." Yeah, Bunny Foo Foo did not wise up. "Little Bunny Foo Foo hopping through the forest, scooping up the field mice and bopping them on the head." And suddenly, poof! Little Bunny Foo Foo was turned into a goon. And the moral of the story is, Hair today, goon tomorrow. Well, I couldn't help it. This parable reminded me of that. With the warning that Jesus gave that, you know, if you're not generous, you ain't gonna have it anyway. You're gonna be called up shortly. Well, okay. That's as funny as it gets today, folks. Sorry. This is a very sad day when it comes right down to it. I do have a quiz for you now. And this is just food for thought for you to take home with you if you feel like it. Why was God's reaction to the rich man so severe? One, God is intolerant of self-indulgent people. Two, God is jealous of all other gods. Three, God doesn't care for rich people. Or can you maybe think of some other option here? Number two, what is Jesus saying in this story? One, it's okay to be successful, but remember your highest priority. Two, to prepare for the future, you have to look beyond finances. Three, when you think you have it made, think again. Or four, you can't take it with you. Five, material things provide the greatest test of our spiritual devotion. Or can you think of another option? Number three, what is your reaction to, quote, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions? One, it sounds good, but clashes with reality. Two, yes, the really important things in life are free. Three, if I lived this way, I wouldn't have such a big credit card bill. Four, I need to be more generous toward God and others. Or can you think of another option? Number four, this is a long quiz, I know. What was your ambition in life when you were 18 years old? Now, come on, some of us have to think back. I'm not going to name names. What was your ambition in life when you were 18 years old? One, I wanted to go to college. Yeah. Two, I wanted to get married and have a family. Yeah. Three, I wanted to start a career, yeah. Four, I wanted to have a good time. Well, maybe a little. Five, I wanted to make a million. That wasn't there. And I had no ambition. That was true some of the time too, wasn't it? Can you think of something else? Number five. What is your greatest ambition now? And you can pick more than one. Advancing in my career? Having nice things? Having a good time? Having a good marriage and family? Having good friendships? Making lots of money? Having a better relationship with God. Making a contribution to the world. Attaining financial independence. And I know there are other things as well. And number six, how would you like to be remembered? As someone who gave a lot? As someone who enjoyed what I had, as a person who was rich toward God, or something else. Just a few little things to think about in the coming week if you have some time. What do you value absolutely the most in life? Seems to me that whatever we value most in life is generally what guides us and how we live our lives. It's kind of like a guideline. What are our goals in life? Are they in line with our values? And what about ethics? The right or wrong? The not legal, but moral or ethical judgments in our actions. That's what ethics is. And remember, even though something may be legal, that doesn't always mean it's ethically or morally correct. And then there's priorities. First things first. All of these things impinge on how we live our lives. And let's toss in those morals into the mix just to really complicate life and life's decisions and actions. But all of these are aspects of the gospel passage this morning. This man comes to Jesus, and he makes a simple demand of the rabbi. But it's actually anything but simple. The response is not just about the man's demand. It's about every man and every woman who has ever walked this fragile earth, our island home. Jesus' response is about how we live our lives and what is our ultimate goal in life. This man, he's kind of brazen, and he's very forward and outspoken, very candid. In some cases, that's a good thing. Not this morning. He wants his brother to share the family inheritance. Now, from that simple statement, I can figure out that the father has left the estate entirely to the brother. And this man is not happy with the father's decision. Now, it wasn't uncommon in those days to leave the estate to the eldest son. Didn't have to share any of it with anybody else in the family. The eldest son. And ladies, forget it. Women did not inherit, I gotta tell you. Unless there was absolutely no other male relative. So this man is probably the younger brother of the one who inherited, and he's a little jealous and upset. This man in his question kind of shows hints of the prodigal son and his brother. And then there's Jacob and Esau. You remember them? We say all wonderful things about Jacob, don't we? But we forget that he was a scallywag when he was young. His elder brother, maybe elder by only 2 or 3 minutes, but nonetheless, his elder brother, Esau. Jacob was sly. Esau was out there working so hard, sweating up a storm. And there was Jacob cooking up a stew. And when Esau came in, he said, I'll give you my birthright for a bowl of that stew. And Jacob took him up on it. And it was legal. Esau offered it. But it was kind of questionable morally and ethically, wasn't it? According to tradition and family law of the day. Elsewhere, Jesus tells us to not put stock in possessions that can rust or be stolen or destroyed. Think about our homes and possessions being suddenly lost in fires, tornadoes, hurricanes, and worse. It can happen all too quickly. What's the most important thing in the aftermath of such loss? Survival of self and loved ones. How do we get on after those kinds of losses? Oh, yes, we have insurance today to help rebuild. But the point is, at zero hour, what really matters most? Or in another popular, if not often used term today, where the rubber meets the road, what really matters most to us? Now, Jesus answers this man very wisely. Family inheritance issues were legal issues that he had no charge over. He couldn't make the man force his brother to give him any inheritance. It was out of his hands. He could speak only to the moral and ethical side of that absolutely legal choice of the father. What's really important for all of us at zero hour? Our answer will come out of all those things I mentioned earlier: values, ethics, morals. And we may not always be conscious of those aspects when we make our decisions or set goals. Ethics, morals are things that we learn over time from others without really consciously thinking about them all the time. What is the most important thing to you? What is your ultimate goal? As Christians, we know it's eternal life, salvation. What would you lay down your life for, to put it simply? What's your real treasure? Is it the family inheritance? I didn't get much. Farmers don't. Jesus says elsewhere, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Whether your treasure is your salvation or money in the bank, where your treasure is, there will be your heart as well. The man in this passage could simply be greedy. Or maybe there's more to the family story that we just don't know. But the point is, where is his heart? What's really important ultimately? What does he value most? What's his real treasure? In terms of faith, our soul is our treasure. Our relationship with our Lord, our salvation. If that's the thing we value most, then we do our best to live accordingly to that ultimate goal. Life on this fragile earth can be very fickle, as we all know, and unpredictable. And bad things can happen to good people, as we know only too well this weekend. Two mass shootings, killings, 29 souls lost in 13 hours in two separate locations. Life is unpredictable at best. We can't rely on our wealth in things to always be there or to get us what we want or to save us. It can all be lost in a heartbeat. Don't get me wrong. We do need our daily bread to get us through the day. Daily bread. Jesus was not saying wealth is bad in and of itself. What he was saying was, what's our attitude toward material stuff? Does it rule us, or do we have power over it? What's our attitude toward our neighbor at home and halfway around the world? Is material wealth our end goal? Will it gain us salvation? Maybe the man in the parable, in this story, didn't value what comes after life on earth. I mean, I find it interesting that this individual has such a, and speaking as a farmer, has such an absolute overabundance of harvest. And what does he do? He says, oh, gee, my barn isn't big enough. I'll tear it down, build another one, store this up, and eat, drink, and be merry. To me, the wise man, the man concerned about his relationship with God, would say, I have more than I can use. I must share this with God's people. But the man in this story didn't do that. He hoarded it and forgot. You can't take it with you when you go. You can bury it in that box with you, but when your soul goes, it stays. It's all about values, as I said earlier, ethics and morals. If that man put as much effort into deepening his relationship with God as he did in gaining wealth and bigger barns, I think he and God would have really been tight. BFFs forever. So I guess the question or challenge for us is, what's ultimately important to us in this life? What's number one under which everything else derives? Do we live according to that? What are our values and priorities, our goals, in light of our faith and relationship with God? Are we, in terms of faith, clear on that relationship? Or do we want what's behind door number one, number two, or number three? No guarantees. It's up to each of us to make a decision, a choice. Life choices. eternal life decisions. So Jesus told the man who asked the question or made the demand, he could not determine the everyday practical, tangible stuff for others. That's family business and legal stuff. But how we settle such issues is reflective of what we really value most in life. It gives us away. So again, the challenge to all of us is to focus on our relationship with God when we make our decisions and choices, because that will reflect who we are as the people of God. So in two words, I think the whole message boils down to choose wisely. Indiana Jones movies are kind of classics these days. They are now even on Turner Classic Movie Channel, so that really kind of makes those of us who watched them in the theater years ago kind of old. Remember the search for the Grail, and they finally get there, and there's this old knight. And they're all trying to pick which one's the real Grail. Anything from a jeweled chalice to a little clay cup. Oh, and most of them think, oh, it's going to be that gold chalice with the jewels. The knight says, choose wisely. Indiana chose. The others, they forfeited when they chose the wrong one and died. And when Indiana chose the correct one, the clay one, the simple one, the knight said, what? He chose wisely. And so must we all. When faced with ethics, morals, and wealth, choose wisely. Now that's hard work to do that, I admit. But the good news is that our Lord and Savior is with us at all times and all places and will help us in all our decision making if we ask Him. He died on the cross for all our mistakes and bad choices. And that's awfully generous if you ask me. He understands us. He cares for us. And if we ask, He will help us in all things. But the caveat is that in return, we serve Him. He is the role model for all our values, ethics, and goals. Remember the WWJD popularity? Some years ago, some people may still use it. You know what it stands for. What would Jesus do? WWJD. I thought at one time that was awfully simplistic and cute. But you know, it's true. And it can help in the choices of life. So, when faced with a question, what would Jesus do? That really, truly can help inform us in our choices. And be generous to others and God. Choose wisely. Remember, our Lord is with us at all times and in all places. And yes, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Amen. And now, as Abel, let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the People is Form 6, found on page 392 of the prayer book. In peace we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors.
And for those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world. For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
We pray for the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, Prince, our bishop, for Lynn, Gary, Linda, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God in his church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life.
We thank you for all the abundance which we have and which we so often think little about. We are wealthy in body, mind, and spirit. Thank you, Lord.
We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom.
For those who died in El Paso and Dayton, and for those who mourn.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them
who put their trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, In your compassion forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone, and so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you
in newness of life,
to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all mercy and goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Well, let us share together in the prayer for thanksgiving. O God, our times are in your hands. Today we praise you for giving our brothers and sisters cause for thanksgiving in their lives. Look with favor upon all your people. Continue in each of us the good works you have given us to do. Strengthen our trust in your loving kindness, that we may continue to live our lives to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And with that, the peace of the Lord be always with you. Peace be with you. I'm going to turn my microphone off here. I can never remember that. And now as we come back together, are there announcements besides there's tomatoes and stuff back there to take? I see a raised hand. Then walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, for you give us this bread and this wine. Our service will continue with the great thanksgiving and Eucharistic prayer B. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things under the care of your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and lives for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
My strength when I am weak, you are the treasure that I seek, you are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool, you are my all in all. Jesus, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. 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 Worthy is your name. Praise waiteth for thee, O God. Praise waiteth for thee. Praise waiteth for thee, O God. Waiteth for thee in Zion. Praise waiteth for thee, O God. Praise waiteth for thee. Praise waiteth for thee, O God. Waiteth for thee in Zion. Praise waiteth for thee, O God. Praise waiteth for thee. Praise waiteth for thee, O God. Waiteth for thee in Zion. Praise waiteth for thee, O God. Praise waiteth for thee. Praise waiteth for thee, O God. Waiteth for thee in Zion.
Before we move to the closing prayer, I would like to invite those who feel the need or desire for healing for themselves or for others to remain after the closing hymn and come forward, and we will share in a prayer for healing. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Oh,
go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God.